I told you this morning I hadn't expected to preach tonight until late yesterday evening, and trying to throw today and trying to decide what the Lord had for us to preach tonight. And God brought this message to my heart. I ain't preached this probably 15 years, but I had preached it before, and couldn't find the outline, so I had to go through and make a new one. I'm not sure it's exactly the same as it was last time, but if you've been coming to church here a long time, you might remember me preaching this once before. Most of you probably won't. Most of you probably don't remember what I preached this morning. But you might remember it. Luke chapter number 16, let's read some familiar verses down through here. Let me say this while it's on my mind. I need to meet with the deacons just a minute after church. So you men hang around. We'll meet in my office. Won't take five minutes. Verse number 19, Luke chapter number 16, verse number 19. The Bible said there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There's a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died, was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Cried, said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime seedest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted, thou art tormented. Besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they'll repent. He said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray, Lord, that you touch, help, and service tonight. And God, I pray, Lord, as we enter in on this subject, Father, that you give us a sense of soberness. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd, give us an attentive ear. And Father, that you'd do that as only you can in our midst. And we'll thank you and praise you for all that's accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Of course, everybody knows this story. And I can remember a time where if you went to an independent Baptist church, and if you went a month, you was going to hear Luke 16 at least one time in a month. I mean, the preacher would always preach on it. And I've probably preached out of it probably as much as any scripture in the Bible. And I preached a lot of different messages out of it. And, of course, we see here this man, this rich man, who died and lifted his eyes up in hell in a place of torment, forever separated from God and the love of God. And I tell you tonight, hell's a real place. Sometimes I'm afraid that we lose track of that, lose sight of that. But hell's a real place. It's full of real people. And it's got a real problem. And the problem is you can't ever get out. This man that is there in hell, that he's there for eternity, suddenly his priorities change. And what was important before is no longer important to him. And it's funny, I was reading those verses there and I thought about how that him and Lazarus kind of swapped, you know. Lazarus in his lifetime didn't have nothing, but now he's got it all. And rich man had it all, but now he's got nothing. I'm glad I know the Lord tonight, aren't you? Aren't you glad tonight you ain't going to hell? Well, if you're saved tonight, you ought to be awful thankful that you're not going to have to die and go to hell. But I want to look at this a little different tonight. Like I said, I preached this one time years ago, and I don't think I ever have preached this since. But I want us to look a little while tonight, if the Lord will help us, on some things that are in hell that ought to be in church. That's a strange way to look at it, strange title. But we'll come down through here, and I believe I can show you a few things here out of Luke chapter number 16 that are in hell, that are missing out of the churches in our day, and that ought to be in church. I tell you, I believe we can take a lesson from hell tonight about some things that are there that ought to be here. And I got four or five things, and I don't have a very long message tonight. I won't preach very long, but I do believe that I'm right where God wants me to deal with tonight. Number one, let me give you a few of these. Number one, we'll see in verse number 24 that in hell there's tears. Look what the Bible said there in verse number 24. The Bible said, "And he cried and said, Father Abraham." Now, of course, we know that hell is no doubt a place of waterless tears. But day and night, there are men who have their hearts broke, who are crying out to God, crying and begging for forgiveness. They're begging for God to do something. There's tears in hell. Can I say to you something that bothers me? It bothers me that our eyes are so dry at church. I guarantee you, in hell, they're taking it serious tonight. In hell, they've really woke up to the seriousness of this thing, and they're crying all day and night, over and over again, year after year, they're crying out in hell. Here, the rich man, he's crying, but we can't cry. I tell you, that bothers me. And I tell you one thing I don't want God to ever take away, and that's my tears. And our altars, I'm just going to say a few things down through here, and I hope it'll be all right, but our altars are dry across America, and the dryness of our altars is the reason I believe that our churches are perilous. It's because the saints aren't weeping like they used to. I can remember a time in my ministry where there's a lot more crying than there is now. You know, and people don't want to cry. That's the problem. People want to be exalted in a service. They'd rather have a service where, you know, they can wave their hand. All that's great. I'm not knocking that. But occasionally they ought to be something that stir you enough that some tears come to your eyes. And I remember those saints of God, and they'd testify through tears a lot of times. Tears be rolling down their face as they testified. I remember, I've seen some of you do it over the years, and tears run down your face. Let me ask you, what happened to that? How come our tears are gone? In hell, there's tears. You know that tears have a language all their own that God hears. And the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, chapter number, Psalm 56, verse 8, "Thou tellest my wanderings." Here's what he said. "Put thou my tears into thy bottle." Did you know there's not a tear falls out of a person that God don't know about it? And I believe God honors somebody that cry and has some emotion, tears coming down their face. They're crying in hell tonight. But we'll sit dry-faced, stone with a stone countenance. And, you know, one of them, well, if the Lord's able, he can bless me. Other than that, we're not going to have much happen. Listen to me now. I'll tell you what we need. We need to cry again. And I'd rather cry under the holiness and the blessings of God as to cry under the judgment of God, wouldn't you? I'd much rather shed tears because of the goodness and the holiness of God. Shed tears because God had taken some of that goodness out of my life. Hey, there's tears in hell. And I'm just going to deal with a few of these things. What happened to your tears? What happened to your tears? Why aren't we crying? I tell you, I can remember a day where there was a whole lot of crying. I can remember, and I was thinking back the other day about some of the old saints of God that I'd pastored over the years. And I remember up on the hill, sometimes there wouldn't be just a handful of people. And I remember years gone by, and John Cooper had come in. And John hardly ever testified that he wasn't weeping and crying. Now I'm going to cry. John hardly ever testified. Said tears wouldn't run down his face. I was thinking about Arnold Stiles. And there'd be times I'd stand there at the back door and Arnold would come back there to shake my hand. He couldn't say nothing. He'd just be like he's going to explode. Just tears pouring out of his face. Them little old saints of God. I think about Laura Lee Thacker. I mean, I could go on and on. Miss Laura Lee, she'd be back there and the tears rolling down her face. And, you know, there wasn't but this 8 or 10 of us. But, you know, them things you never forget. And things that mean something to you, see. When you look at people and there's tears rolling down their face. Well, maybe we got too proud for that. I don't know. Sometimes, maybe too fancy for it. You know, too high up or something. But we hadn't ought to. God honors them tears. He honors them tears. And so, in hell they're crying. Why couldn't we cry in church? Why couldn't we shed a few tears for the Lord? I remember years ago, and I remember Pansy testifying, Miss Pansy testified about how the Lord took her tears one time. She said she was crying. She asked the Lord, she said, I wish I didn't have to do this crying. And she said, boy, the Lord took my tears. Said he's gone for a few years. Said finally one night they come back. Said I never asked the Lord not to cry no more. Boy, I tell you, there's something to that. I tell you what we could use is, see, we don't cry because we're not brokenhearted. We're so used to how things are. We've gotten accustomed, really. We've all moved our houses closer to Moab. That's what we've done. We've got accustomed to it. And things don't bother us like they used to. But the tears have dried up. And I believe God would honor some people that get concerned enough, worked up enough that some tears would flow down their face again. I believe God honor that. But there's tears in hell. What else is in hell? Well, I thought about how that in hell there's a humble attitude. Verse number 24, suddenly this rich man's begging for mercy. And I can imagine through the description of this rich man, he lived, had purple and lived sumptuous. I imagine he's pretty proud, don't you? I think about how he lived, probably a life of pride, but the pride's gone now. Hell, the pride's gone. But really, that rich man probably lived about like your average Baptist in our day. Pretty life full of pride. Life is pretty puffed up. All of us do. You know, we lived the most blessed time period probably. I mean, as far as luxuries go, we don't have to worry about that. I mean, hey, you read about some of them frontiers when them folks that lived in the 1800s. People say, I'd like to live back then. You wouldn't have made it back then. Indians marauding all over the place. We'll have to worry about the Indians shooting you. You know, why you wouldn't have made it. I was reading this week where they said, they was having a meeting there in Kentucky. And these bunch of Shawnees come in. They's going to win them to the Lord. Said them Shawnees was shaking their head and agreeing with the preacher. And boy, they's all stirred up about it. And said finally the preacher kind of wound down on his message and they heard a hoot owl outside. Said about the time they heard the hoot owl, the Shawnees got up and they all left. And that preacher said, well, that owl must have scared them. And they went outside to find all their horses was gone. Amen. 18 horses stolen. But, hey, you don't understand how those people live. We live in an easy, easy time. An easy, easy time. But it has caused us to have an exalted attitude. But in hell, everybody's humble. It's humble. Boy, I tell you, I believe we could use some more humbleness in the church. In hell, there's praying. Look what the Bible said there, verse number 27. Look what the Bible said. The Bible said, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father. In hell, there's continual prayer going up. Now, they're separated from God. He can't hear them. But there's a continual, they've waited too late to pray. But no doubt in hell tonight, it would put the average Baptist church to shame. The amount of praying that's going on in hell tonight. Nonstop they're praying. God help us. Lord loose us. No doubt a nonstop prayer going on in heaven from hell tonight. Yet the church can't make their way to an altar. Prayer. Nonstop. Here you and I have an unlimited access to the throne room. And we let the people in hell outpray us. That's the truth. Now I'm telling you, God hears and answers prayer. I was thinking about what Summer said this morning about God sometimes just immediately answering prayer. On Thursday evening, Rachel fell off the ladder. And she wasn't hurt too bad, but she's hurt. And I wasn't sure how bad. I thought maybe she'd broke her foot. God got her up out of the floor, but she couldn't walk on it. And I told her, I said, there's some crutches down in my shop. I've seen them just the other day. You ever do that? I mean, you see something odd and out of the way, and you think, well, there's some crutches. I might need them one day. But my shop, you got to understand, is full of junk. Christopher Columbus couldn't find stuff in my shop. But I went down, I told her, I said, there's some crutches in my shop. I said, I'll go down there and I'll find them. And so I run down there. I need to find them quick because I knew how she was. She'd be back up on the ladder or something stupid. So I rushed back down there to the shop. And I was digging through a bunch of that stuff behind my camper trying to find them crutches. And I got two feral cats lives in my shop. I've told you about them. And meanest pound for pound, meanest two animals you ever dealt with in your life, son. And one of them would claw my face off if it got a chance. It'd claw anybody's face off. It's better than a guard dog. But they're afraid. So when I come in there, you never see them unless I'm feeding them. It's the only time I ever see them. And that one old cat, it'll come and get a mouthful of food and hiss at me while it's eating the food I just fed it. It'll be like, and eating that food. And that's exactly, they're employees. They're not pets. They're employees. So that's exactly what I want out of them. They're rat killers. That's all they're. But anyway, I moved something and that old cat jumped out. I scared it and it scared me. And I fell backwards and the cat ran off. And I thought, I'm going to get killed in this mess. Can't find no. And it just come to me. Well, I prayed about it. And I said, Lord, I need to find them crutches. And I need to find them right now. And I had no more than said that. And I turned around and there them crutches was. I swear I'd had to walk over them to get to where I was. And you say, well, I believe the Lord put them there. I don't believe they's there when I think he dug them out of that mess and put them there because I'll tell you something else I'll do occasionally. And this ain't theology. This is just me. But sometimes when things gets real, real bad, real serious, young and sick or something like that's happening, I'll pray and I'll say, Lord, I need some emergency access here. I need to get in the throne room real quick. Because I got something real heavy on my heart right here, Lord. If you could just give me some attention. And it's almost like the Lord gives me he'll just really lean toward me and hear what I got to say. And I'm telling you, we've got an opportunity to really do something great with our prayer life. But what do we do? What's the one thing that as the day goes on, you'll leave to the side? That's always your prayer time. Always your prayer time. We're praying in hell. Oh, yeah. They're praying in hell tonight. That ought to be in church. It ought to be church where people's crying out to God, begging God to do it. That ought to be church. But it's happening in hell. Think about this. In hell, there's an interest in sinners. Verses 27 and 28, he begs. Abraham says, I got five brothers. Go get them. We need them. I don't want them to come here. See, suddenly, he's interested in them lost brothers. Never was while he was here on earth. Never was interested in them. But suddenly, he's interested. And I say that, by and large, in most churches, there's zero interest in sinners. We don't give our services toward them. We don't invite them. Really, there's just not an overwhelming interest in it. Isn't that a shame? What God put the church here to do? He built a church here to win sinners. Somebody cared enough about you one day that you got one to the Lord. Well, we ought to have an interest. Hey, our community's dying and going to hell. We ought to have an interest in how it is that we can reach them with the gospel. That ought to be our number one priority. When a church turns inward, it dies. Tell it. When a church turns inward, it dies. The only way a church prospers is to continue to look beyond its walls. Think about this. In hell, there's a desire for missions. You know what that rich man said? He said, send Lazarus. When that rich man found out he couldn't go, he said, okay, send somebody. If I can't go, send somebody to reach my brothers. He had an interest in missions. An interest in missions. But you know, I'm going to make a statement right here and then I'm going to be done giving altar call. But let me say, hell tonight is more interested in mission work than the average Baptist church. Again, we get in this idea. Even churches that have a desire to see their community reached, they don't really care much about sinners in Africa. But when missionaries come and show us these pictures of foreign lands where people have never even heard the gospel, it ought to fire us up. It ought to make us want to send somebody there. Send somebody. Tell them that's the job of the church. The last thing the Lord said before He ascended, He gave the Great Commission. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world. Come next month, one Sunday, and I'll nail it down exactly when we'll have our missions Sunday, where we'll look at our missions again, try to do that once every year and take faith and promise and talk about our missions budget. Our church ought to, I'm telling you, a church got to be mission-minded. Got to be mission-minded. And I've always said, it's always been my opinion back when we really struggled a lot financially. If we get struggling financially, we'd take on a missionary. And it never failed, the budget jumped back up. Always worked that way. It always worked that way. Because I'm telling you, God honors that because He commanded us to send the gospel out. And that's, God's put us here, God's honored our church, helped our church. And I think part of the reason is because we've been good and loved on missionaries and helped missionaries. But there's a desire for a missions program. Wouldn't you agree with me, them five things are in hell tonight and they ought to be in church? They're in hell tonight. And all five of them things ought to be in church. God, help us to have them in our church. To have a church that'd be full of them five things. Let's stand to our feet. Father, thank you, Lord, for helping us to preach tonight. God, short. I believe I shared what you wanted for tonight's service. I pray, God, that you just touch hearts, Lord, tonight. Do that as only you can. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight. I'm not even going to have any music playing. Sometimes I'm afraid we have music every time and it cheats the piano player out of an opportunity to pray. But I wonder tonight, just in the stillness of the hour, if there'd be some folks that just say, preacher, you're right. I would like to, for us to have some tears in my life and in the church. I'd like to see some interest in sinners, some desire for missions, prayer lives the way that they ought to be, humbleness of heart.